Psalms 85 and verse 4. I want to read this scripture, then I'll get into the lesson. Listen to the psalmist here. Turn us, O God. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? I believe God's angry with America, don't you? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Here's the verse. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Wilt thou not revive us again? With God's help this morning, I want to get into the book of Habakkuk. Three little chapters, and they're power-packed. Habakkuk lived. He's a contemporary of Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, little Micah. And they all prophesied and warned Israel. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. For over 20-some years, the man wept. He said, oh, that my eyes were a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slaying of the daughter of my people. Bitterness has entered into my very belly for my people.
Yes.
He warned them for over 20-some years to return to the Lord. God would speak through the prophet with tears in his eyes and say, return to me, Israel. Return to me, Israel. If you don't return to me 20-some year, God reproved them, corrected them, and told them to return, or else I will send the Babylonians, the Chaldeans. They were both the same people.
Yeah.
I will send the enemy in to destroy and pillage you and take you captive. And this message this morning, the cry of my heart is America. Oh, America, would you turn back to God?
Come on.
Lord, we need your mercy.
Turn back.
The call for revival always comes before ruin. Can I tell us this morning, we'll have revival or we'll have ruin. As with a nation, so with an individual.
Yeah.
The devil will destroy a nation. Listen, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But sin is a reproach to any people. As God deals with a nation, he deals with an individual. If you find yourself lukewarm, listen, you're drifting away from God. The vision's not there that it used to be. The fire don't burn like it used to burn. It's dangerous to be in that ground.
Yes.
I don't want to be ruined. I don't want to lose what God's given me and what he showed me. I want to hold to it. I want to embrace it. Somebody raise your hand. I want to keep what God's given me. I want to live what he showed me to live. I want my convictions restored. I want the fire, the desire to come back in my heart to live this thing like I used to live it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, America. Don't sin away your days of grace.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. The Bible said the wicked shall be turned into hell. And all nations that forget God. America. America. It seems that you're receiving God's final call. Look around you, America. You are experiencing God's wake-up call. You better humble yourself and turn and repent of your transgressions so that iniquity shall not be your ruin. Oh, God, help us, Lord, this morning. Did not the Bible say that the Lord cried out in Chronicles 7:14? He said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. If we ever need any healing in our land, it's now. It's this morning. If we ever need any healing individually, it's now. Raise your angel out of heaven and say, Lord, I need healing. Oh God, that you would touch me and revive me again, oh God, that I may rejoice in thee. I'm afraid there's too much dust upon the Bible, and there's dust on the altar, not only in the church, but people don't pray like they used to pray. They don't steal away and get a hold of God. Did not the Bible say, Lord, hallelujah, David said to the Lord, said, Lord, when you said unto me for me to seek thy face, he said, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. Hallelujah. How many knows that there's strength in the face of the Lord? Hallelujah. When you smile upon us again, God, when you shine the light upon us again and cause thy face to shine upon us, and that we can be saved. I'm telling you, I'm afraid that God's hidden his face from a lot of professing Christians, but they lost their love for God, and God don't look at them anymore.
Amen.
We've lost that pull and that upward look.
Oh God.
Yes.
Cause thy face to shine. I'm telling you one thing. You better seek the face of the Lord and his strength. I'm going to tell you this morning by the Holy Ghost. Seek the Lord until, and seek his face until he smiles and you see the smile on his face.
That's right.
Other than that, you're not where you should be.
Yes.
You'll know when God touches you.
You'll know.
You'll know when you walk close and you draw an eye. There'll be an upward draw. There'll be a magnet on your soul. You'll feel the hand from glory whirlpool of the strings of your heart. Raise your hand and praise him. Pull me, Lord, again. Draw me with the cords of mercy, God, and the bands of love. Draw me. What was the Shulamite woman in the Song of Solomon? She said unto her beloved, her groom, her shepherd, she said unto him, draw me, and we will run after thee. Oh God, I used to run. Lord, I used to stay close to you. I used to feel the fire up burning. Used to, Lord, the tears would run out of my eyes, and the Holy Ghost would move upon me. Would you draw me again? Raise your right hand. I need the Lord to draw me again, that I might run after him.
Yes, Lord.
Wilt thou not revive us again, O God, O God, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Where is the victory? Where is that high elevation in the Lord? Where is the presence of God?
Yes.
Thank you.
Lord, help us.
Draw me, Lord.
Draw me.
Draw me, Jesus.
Draw me, Jesus.
Humble yourself so that iniquity will not be your ruin. You see, it's good. And Brother Jason, for the last several days, I parked in the book of Habakkuk. I pitched a tent here. I've dug in it. I've observed it and looked at it. I've wept through the pages of three little chapters. And I see Habakkuk's day. And I see a reflection of a mirror. It's a carbon copy of today.
Yeah.
Oh, Habakkuk. Oh, man of God, what do you see? What do you see?
What do you see?
Listen, we study history, and the reason that we do is because we don't want to repeat its failures.
Come on,
right.
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 History will teach you failures is a hard experience and a lesson to learn.
Yeah.
Some people have never recovered from their failures. Listen, nations have went down, kings have fallen, they went right into the dust because they have forgotten God.
Yes.
Ain't that a history that we should take to heart? Don't forget the Lord in this hour. Don't lose your prayer life and the desire of your heart in this hour. Listen, we study history not to repeat its failures. When God's judgments are in the earth, the people will learn righteousness. Kings have fallen and nations have went down and bit the dust in destruction. It's a reminder. Listen, don't you go their pernicious ways. You cannot try for God's laws and survive. You'll never make it. Your walls will come down and you will surely be destroyed. I feel the Lord right here. If I ever needed him to hold me, and if I ever needed that hedge of righteousness, I need it right now. If I ever needed his presence, come on. If I ever needed the angel of the Lord to touch me, if I ever needed to get close into the Spirit, listen, and walk with God, walk in his steps, walk in the Spirit, it's right now. Say, Lord, build around me a hedge. Dear Lord, I don't want the spirit of our society. I don't want its evils, Lord, in my life to affect me. Oh, God. Is there hope for our nation? Yeah. If she humbles herself and does it fast and repents, turns from her wicked ways, God will hear. God will forgive and yet heal. Can God sin revival? Can God restore? Yes. When people wake up and become desperate enough to call him. Habakkuk, now, if you would turn with me, let's go. I want you to dig with me. I want you to look. I want you to observe with me. In this little prophet book, Habakkuk, right after Obadiah, Micah, and Nahum, you'll find Habakkuk. It's right before Zephaniah. You will find Habakkuk. Notice how the scripture starts. Habakkuk 1 and 1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear me here? Even cry unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity? You've anointed my eyes to look out, and I see the iniquity, and cause me to behold the grievance. For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doeth never go forth. For the wicked doeth compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. Look at verse 9, or on down, verse 13. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? Notice. You ever notice when a scripture in the Old Testament comes, the burden of the word of the Lord came to me? The burden of Habakkuk that came. You know what a burden is this morning? It's a heavy, heavy load. It's a concern that weighs you down. It's a load inside of your very soul that's cried. It's a burden. I mean, has ever felt a burden? You've had a burden for yourself. You've had a burden for your family. A burden for your loved ones. Listen. The burden of God. Oh, this is the burden that Habakkuk did see. Now, this godly prophet Habakkuk finds his place and niche in history around 620 B.C. That's 620 years before Christ was born and came into our world. You know, God's always had trouble with man since the Garden of Eden. Nations would rise. At times they would serve God. They would destroy their idols and they would turn to the Lord. And other times a good righteous king would die, pass away. Then you'd have his son to take the throne and he would rule. Listen, and for 50 years he filled Jerusalem with blood from one end of it to the other. Lord God Almighty, every time, listen to me, as an individual, every time you backslide, you get worse.
Worse and worse.
So with a nation, every time she turns away from God, she gets worse.
Worse.
Did not Jesus warn them? Said the unclean spirit walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. That unclean spirit says, I know what I'll do. I'll go back and return to the house from whence I came out. When that unclean spirit comes and returns back, it finds that room, that house, empty, swept, and garnished. No restraining power. Raise your hand. God, if we ever needed a restraining power, Lord, if we ever needed the Holy Ghost, God, to build us up inside, it's right now. That spirit, that unclean spirit, saw that empty house. And then he entereth and go back into the house from which he came out of. And he taketh seven other spirits more wicked than himself. I'm telling you, Jesus was speaking about Israel, his own people. I'm telling you, they rejected the Son of God. They pushed him out. They nailed him to a cross. We don't want him. Give us Barabbas. We'll serve Caesar. And you know what happened? The history is a bloody history for Israel. Come on, help us, oh God. Every time you backslide, you get worse than you ever were.
Worse than what?
God's hand of judgment hits you harder and harder and harder.
Right.
God help us this morning.
Oh,
God help us. America, ain't you learned anything? Don't you know? Listen, when this prophet was born, Brother Earl, his parents looked at him. This is my mind. His parents held him in their arm. What are we going to name him? What are we going to name this man? Did you know when God's got a work for an individual? Back in the Old Testament, God would put it into the mind and the heart of a mom and dad to name him a name which would portray what he would be in life.
Right.
I'm going to use him. He's going to be my instrument. He's going to be my minister. So they looked at one another, and what are we going to name him? Habakkuk. Habakkuk is a Hebrew name meaning to embrace. Woo! How many wants to hold on to God?
Yeah.
How many wants to do the right? Hold on to the right.
Yeah.
Glory to God forever. Which means to embrace, Brother Jason. And the root meaning of that word is plant. P-L-A-N-T.
Plant.
Glory to God. In other words, he was chosen at birth to be God's spokesman to God's people. He came from the Levitical line of people that took care, listen, of the temple and the worship of God. God called him into the prophetic office, listen, and by his very name, which meant to embrace and a plant. Habakkuk embraced God. Habakkuk, right in the middle of his wicked, ungodly society, held on to what was right. He held on to God. He carried his people. Listen, not only did Habakkuk embrace God, but he embraced the people. Listen, if we ever needed intercessors, we ever needed people to pray for one another, raise your little hand. God has made every one of us an intercessor to pray for our nation. Pray for the preacher. Pray for the pastor. Raise your hand and help us, Lord. Help us, God. We need an intercessory prayer. So he embraced the people that he ministered to and carried them to God. Lord have mercy. I got so wrapped up in this. Listen, that word, that root word of Habakkuk means a plant. So what God did, God placed him and planted him right in the middle of his evil generation. You're going to be different. You're going to be different, Habakkuk. You are my voice, Habakkuk. Listen, you are my voice to my people. I called you and I planted you right in the midst of a corrupt society to be my light and my witness. Habakkuk, would you hold on to me and embrace me and shine the light? Hallelujah. How many knows who we, God has placed us and he's brought us to the kingdom for such a time as this? Mary and I have been talking lately and we said, Lord, to one another, why in the world did it have to be our generation nation to experience all this pandemic and this COVID-19 and this coronavirus. Why does it have to be us? Why couldn't we not have lived back 50 years ago and died happily in the Lord and went on to heaven? I'm going to tell you that the Lord, I feel the Lord, I felt a chill going all over me. You know why you're here this morning? You're chosen for your very generation. God has made you a light and a witness, and God will always have an instrument for everybody. I know that there is a God. Raise your hand and praise Him. He's got you here for a reason.
Yes.
Brother Anthony, the Lord's got you right where He wants you for a reason, to be a light for your family. They know when you pack up your Bible and get in your car to come to Sunday school on a Sunday morning. They know when you got a desire to go to the house of the Lord. They see you dressed up. They see you with a Bible under your arm. I ain't ashamed of God in this day and hour. Give Him a wave offering. We're here for a reason, and God has planted us right in the middle of this society to be a bright and a shining light.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Amen.
Good job.
Oh, God.
I don't want to fail my generation.
No.
Come on. I don't want to fail my family.
No.
And I sure don't want to fail my church. I don't want to fail God.
No.
Lord, have mercy sakes. God will never, He will never leave Himself without a witness.
That's right.
He will always have a voice to every generation. Are you the voice He's looking for? Are you faithful? Your actions sometimes, you might not be a preacher, but your actions are a message. Are you that voice that will speak the heart of God to direct and warn the people? Listen, God always sends warning before He does judgment.
Yeah.
Bless Him for that. God will take care of His own. He'll always be with His remnant in a wicked world. Now, don't ever think that God's ministers are exempt from the troubles that plague the people around them. That plague this generation. Come on.
That's right.
The problems and the pressures, the sins and their ills affect them just as well. Men and women of God suffer right along with the people that they minister to. Their problems becomes their problems. Their worries of the people around you in this world, their worries become our worries. Their sins and their suffering lays heavy upon our hearts. Ministers carry the people's burdens to the Lord. God's prophets and ministers stand in the gap for the people. They cry and intercede to God on their behalf. But he knows we got a lot of gaps.
A lot of gaps. Oh God. Right.
Listen to the Lord God speak out in the time of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 22:30. And I sought for a man. And I'm going to tell you this morning, God's a seeking for women. That's got a heart for God.
Yes.
You could do nothing. If you don't sing, you could be a prayer warrior.
Prayer warrior.
God said, I sought. He looks right down seeking for a heart that He can use. I feel the Lord.
Lord.
I'm looking for somebody that I could use. Somebody that will take this and be a blessing to others. Listen. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge. Sounds like a gap in the hedge. And stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Thank God for you. Everything in my heart. Thank God for the ministers. Thank God for the singers. We got a big gap.
Stand in the gap.
There's gaps in people's lives everywhere.
Come on.
There's voids. Voids and emptiness. That God's wanting us to feel. People are hurting. They're suffering away from God. The hedge is down in their life. Can't you see it? Can't you see the wrong they're going through? Can't you see the suffering? Can't you see the sorrow and the despair? The hedge is down. There's gaps in our nation. Gaps in families' lives. Slip your hand and say, Lord, help me. Oh, God. Help me. Lord, I fear that gap to bring the hedge back up. Lord God Almighty, God Almighty, I don't want another one to go down. I don't want another one destroyed. I don't want rain in anybody's life. Listen close. I wrote this weeping and crying just last night. Because of the spirit of the age that is prevailing in our society and was prevailing in Ezekiel's day, the people gave in to that spirit and became polluted. The devil will work on you when there's a gap in your life. When there's a gap, there's a hole, there's a breach in your wall. That's when the enemy comes in.
Yes.
And he comes in. He sends his lying, seducing spirits right into the hole in the wall.
Yes.
He gets right in there and woos you and tempts you and lies. Come on now. Oh, the spirit of the age. Listen, it'll pollute you. The idols of their generation, listen, in Ezekiel's day, it drew their hearts away from God. The idols. Oh, God. They became corrupt and sinful, just like the world around them. The Lord spoke concerning his people. The whole house of Israel is to me become dross. You are no longer true to me. You're no longer pure. You've went away from me. You've become defiled. You're now unholy.
Yes, Lord.
Come on, preach the holiness of God. Stand for the righteousness of God. Let the fire burn and consume the dross that's in our life. Give him a wave offering this morning. If there's anything polluting me, God, get it out of me and sanctify me.
Oh, God.
Amen.
Help us, Lord.
The Lord spoke concerning his people. You become dross. God is saying to Ezekiel, there are gaps forming in my people's lives, Ezekiel. And I need my ministers. I need my ministers. And a minister ain't just a preacher. If you minister for the Lord, you're ministering to somebody's need. You're praying for them. You're talking to them. You're dealing with them. You're witnessing to them in song, in word, in testimony. Gaps of forming in my people's lives, Ezekiel. I need my ministers to fill in the gaps, to make up the hedge. I want to say this morning, the devil, the enemy of our soul, he wants gaps in our life.
Yeah.
Thank God, everybody, it's under the sound of my voice this morning. We're few in number, but you can honestly say you feel the Holy Ghost when you walk in indoors. God will honor his people. And when the true word of God is preached, and when the pastor gets up with a burden and you can feel that stir, he looks out, he sees. God's made him a watchman up on the wall. He climbs in a high tower in prayer, and God shows him the needs of the people and he warns them. There's gaps.
Amen.
A gap is dangerous.
Bless you, Lord.
Listen, I've wept over this. The devil wants to separate you from your Lord.
He does.
The enemy wants to separate you from your church. He wants gaps in the body of Christ. He seeks to keep us apart from coming together and worshiping together. Listen, you are the strongest when you are together. Can you say amen to that this morning? Amen. United we stand, and united we're made strong. Gaps are dangerous. That's when the hedge comes down and we are weak and we are vulnerable. When there's no coming together, listen, when there's no joining together with the saints in worship and the ministry of the Holy Ghost, that gap will get bigger and bigger and wider and wider, and there will be no restraining power to keep the enemy from lying to you and weakening you. You'll lose your fortitude. You'll lose your love for God. You'll become cold or lukewarm. You'll get weaker and grow cold. Listen, gaps of time are deadly. Yeah. Gaps in places are deadly. Gaps in time are deadly. You can dry up. You can wither and die in a space of time. I love what you told. And right out there at the car, as you was going to your car, you told me, Brother Tommy, and I preached along those lines that Sunday morning. You came to me afterwards and you said, Brother Tommy, I'm worried about some people. And you was worried about habits, how habits are formed.
Right.
You don't do one thing just one time, one little swift time, and it forms a habit. You become addicted. It's a repetitive thing that you do over and over and over, and it becomes a habit to you, and you're hooked to it. And you said to me, Brother Tommy, I'm worried about people because of this pandemic. They don't come to church anymore. As long as they was coming to church, is what you said, that the Holy Ghost could minister to them and God could deal with them. And I've seen them come around the altar and they pray when Brother Jason preaches. And then you said to me, said that they don't have that coming together and that fellowship of the Spirit of God. They'll fill that void with something else.
Right.
Raise your hand, praise Him.
Oh, God.
Oh,
so
God.
True. So true.
I worry, I really worry, brother, with all of my heart. You can't tell me when you stay out of the house of God, you stay home. You can't tell me you will not have something to fill in the gap with the entertainments and the things of this world.
Right?
Yes.
There's a hole God put in every one of us, and only God can feel it, and God can keep these things of the world out of you.
Yeah.
But when you're away from the Spirit of God, you become vacant, a vacuum.
Yeah.
I feel the Lord. A vacuum will always be filled with something. Thank God.
Yeah.
You come in here, the Holy Ghost begins to deal. It creates in you a desire. You see your needs. You see your shortcomings. You know what you need to work on in your life. Holy Ghost brings conviction. Don't you tell me you can get it in front of a TV set.
No.
Watching adultery and fornication and violence and bloodshed and naked people.
Come on.
You will not.
Right.
We'll do it.
Come on.
You can't get on the internet. You can't take your little fingers and go into the websites and view things. Don't you tell me you can't without being affected.
Right. Right.
You're right, Brother Tom.
You're entertaining. What you're doing is stepping outside of the light of the gospel. You're stepping outside of God's kingdom, and you're putting your feet right in the kingdom of darkness.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something. You lay with the dogs, you're going to get their fleas.
Come on
now, raise your left hand and say, God, it's a clean way, it's a holy way. Thou art a purer eyes, Habakkuk said, than to behold evil. You see it, dear Lord. You see everything I think about, what I view, what I listen to. You know me, you know me. There's gaps, there's gaps, there's gaps, there's vacant spots, and people are feeling it, seeking to feel it. I'm just sharing to you my burden this morning. Listen, there's gaps of time in time that are deadly. You can dry up and wither in a space of time. You need a constant supply of the Spirit of God. Not only are there gaps of time, there are gaps in places that is just as dangerous. I cried out from this pulpit when this pandemic first started. You all know I did. I said, don't let this coronavirus separate us. I'm concerned for some people and I'm burdened for them. When there's a gap, the devil will bring every lying spirit to trouble and play on your mind. When there's a gap, there's an empty space where something used to be. But now it's empty and void. I can tell you by experience of human nature, the void in your life won't stay empty for long. The enemy of your soul will cause you to fill it with something. And it'll become a habit to you.
Amen, brother.
And it won't be God. And it won't be the Holy Ghost. I feel a solemnness. The burden of Habakkuk. I feel, dear prophet, I feel your load. I feel your burden as you looked around, all around you in your society, and you saw the idols. You saw the rich oppressing the poor. You saw the house of God vacant. You saw people's desires. Oh, Lord, the violence, the bloodshed, the lust of everything in the world went on in Habakkuk's day. Oh, God. So in our lesson this morning, God is saying to the prophet Habakkuk, Habakkuk, I called you, O man of God, and I placed and I planted you among the people to warn them. Tell them, Habakkuk, the enemy's coming. Tell them, Habakkuk, the Chaldeans, which are actually the Babylonians, they're coming to take the people captive. Tell them, Habakkuk, the enemy is coming, but the just shall live by his faith. The people's idols will not save him, but I have a remnant that will serve me, Habakkuk. And through it all, they will live by their faith. Raise your hand and praise him. Hallelujah to God. God's got a faithful remnant. He's got a people that won't bow. Hallelujah to God. Ain't you glad of that this morning? He's got a faithful people that will hold to their commitment. God's call comes through the minister, the prophet. Turn. I want you to do. I want you to repent. I want you to draw near to me. Turn, repent. In our study this morning, we'll not only look at this prophet's generation of people, but we will look at the heart of the man of God, Habakkuk.
Yes.
Oh, Habakkuk, what do you see? What's the vision, oh man of God? Oh, watchman. What of the night? As you stand upon the watchtower, what do you see? What do you all see this morning? Oh God, I know this is strong. Can we all pray and say, God, would you give us your eyes? And let us see as you see. Would you give us discernment? That's what the church is lacking in this hour. That's the reason we're so easily defeated. We don't have no spiritual discernment. We can't separate the chaff from the wheat, the right from the wrong, and what's acceptable to God, what ain't, what he likes and what he dislikes. Raise your hand and say, God, teach me. Enlighten mine eyes, Lord, of my understanding, God. Anoint it with eyes that I can see. Give me the spirit of revelation.
Yeah.
Let me know as you know, Lord. Give me understanding of the times, of the times, of the times. If there was ever a time to run to God and make him your refuge, it's right now. Have you all lost that zeal? Anybody here? I know I need a closer walk. I might be your Sunday school teacher, but I always need God's touch and a closer walk.
Yes.
David cried in Psalms 57:1, listen, I've got something God gave me. 57:1 of Psalms, be merciful unto me. Oh God, be merciful unto me. If he said it twice, Brother Jason, he was desperate.
Be merciful.
Nobody's ever had the devil to tell you, you're just giving up vain reputations. You ask God for the same thing over and over. You keep telling me the same words. This ain't a vain repetition, my friend. When you beseech God and you beg Him to move in your life and others' lives. Come on now.
Come on, Tom.
Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in Thee. Yea, look at the word. Yea, in the shadow of Thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. In times like these, the Lord is our hiding place from the wind. Listen, a covert from the tempest. The shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Here's what God gave me concerning that. The hot blazing sun represents your trial. How many of you ever had a hot trial? You're going through a desert, a hot trial. Your face really been tried. So the sun becomes blazing hot. It represents your trial. But that great rock in a weary land is Christ. So, as the sun of your trouble and the rays of it, and the trial comes up in the morning and it gets hotter and hotter and reaches higher and higher overhead. Listen, it forces you to keep moving closer to that rock and to stay within its shade. When that blazing sun is directly over your head, its hot rays causes you to hug the rock for that least little bit of shade. Lord, you're my shade. You're my comfort. How many's ever worked outside in the heat of the day, Brother Scotty? And as it gets hotter and the heat drains you, if you're in the hot sun for very long, you suffer heat exhaustion. You become weak. You begin to look around for shade. If I can find some cool place and shade, I'll revive. Wilt thou not revive us again, O God? Amen. I'll revive if I can just get to that rock. Oh, would you stand with me? I'll revive, O God. I'll be revived if I can just get to the rock. Thou wilt revive me again that I can rejoice. Can I tell us all here this morning, stay near the rock. You cannot afford to get too far away from that rock in this hour. Stay near Jesus, your Lord. Praise God forever. Listen. If I was out somewhere, and I was being pressured, and the fiery trials was a-coming. Listen. You know what I'd do if that podium, just if for an example, that pulpit was the rock, it was Christ, I'd follow the shade. You see, when the sun falls over there and it ain't overhead yet, it casts us a big shadow. If the sun's there, the big shadow with this rock will be way out here. I've got liberty. I've got liberty. I'm revived in its shadow, in the shade I find refreshing. But listen, as the day wears on, so with the weeks and the months of time. Time will kill you, my friend, if you let it. Time is of the essence. And as that sunball gets higher and higher, the shade from that old rock gets a little closer and a little closer and a little closer. Listen,
yeah.
You find, you go over there and you stay within its shade. When it gets all the way almost over ahead of you, it's the hottest time of your life. You know what you do? You hug the rock. You hug the rock. I can't make it without the rock. God, you're my comfort. Come on, don't let any gaps form in your life. Let's pray. Let's pray this morning. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Come on. Come on. There's hedges down. Hedges in people's minds. Hedges in their hearts. Hedges in churches. And surely a great rift in our society of America. Come on. Run to the rock, would you? Wilt thou not revive me again, oh God, that I may rejoice in thee. Children, right now's the time. Come on, stay faithful to God. Keep praying. Keep attending the house of God. Keep coming together in unity and worship the Lord. Listen, hug the rock. Hug the rock. Take both arms and wrap it around the rock right now, and you'll be safe. Holy God.
Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus.
Ha ha ha!